strong as you thought. So you're getting those. The set of lessons come in an arbitrarily a myriad of different ways. So either way you win, you are getting the awareness and training and understanding of spiritual principles.
Mm-hmm.
You make your life a lot easier if you practice the virtues every day. It'd probably be a lot easier on you.
Sure. Well, my foster mother, Terry, was a wonderful master psychic, and she taught me, she gave me about 18, 20 years of instruction on how to contact the other side. And I was told that I had contracted for a certain amount of time in this life here. So I know how long I'm supposed to live. I've got many more years to go.
Which is
interesting.
Well, that shows you that maybe both sides are true then. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people do have a fixed time period where they're going to go back and others are malleable. Maybe many times it's both.
Yeah. Well, I've contracted to be here for so many years, and I finally, with this radio show, found my sole purpose, and it's kind of like going back to, as you mentioned very succinctly earlier in the show, about how when you're born, you often remember what your purpose is, and you're in contact with the spiritual other side, but then as you get older in this society, often society will downgrade that and think that you're crazy to think about spirits and other dimensions. But later in life, after you've worked maybe for many decades in a job, you realize that there's a lot more to life than just this physical universe in the third dimension. And especially now that I think that the planet itself is moving slowly but surely into the fifth dimension, that people are waking to the fact that there's a lot more than just what you see. You know, a good psychic, for example, who has access to the fifth dimension can tie in and find answers to almost any problem or any situation that you like, because... So and there's only truth in the fifth dimension. My foster mother always used to tell me, she said that it's funny how criminals and crooks think that they can get away with things in the third dimension, but when God's watching, all the other spirits are watching, and you can't run away from God. In other words, there's only truth in the fifth and in higher dimensions.
Yeah, you and I are definitely on the same page as that. For sure.
I wanted to ask you a whole bunch of other questions, but before I do, I just wanted to take a quick station break. And for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. We're interviewing today Robert Perella, a fascinating gentleman who's had experiences with extraterrestrials and psychic phenomena on the other side. Did you have a near-death experience in Egypt in 1997, Robert?
I did. Okay. It's kind of funny, isn't it? You know, I mean, how does this guy have all this stuff happen to him? You know, I mean, some people just live, you know, the spiritual wonders.
Sure.
In 1997, there were 47 out of 50 of us got violently ill on a trip to Egypt, and we got violently ill in Luxor. And we got stuck in the desert for a while. And none of us could get a doctor, and everything was sort of one of those situations where it was just going from bad to worse, and then on. And sure enough, I had got to the last day. Mm-hmm. I made it in what's called the King's Chamber, which is incredible. You know, the passageway up there narrows as you get, you know, halfway up and everything. And it was a remarkable experience. I didn't want to say that I went all the way to Egypt, and I fell 100 yards short of actually going into the King's Chamber itself. We were in a hotel that was across the street from the King's Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, a doctor finally arrived, and he said, "You're very, very ill. I want you to check into a hospital in Giza, and you should not get on the airplane and all that." And I was just like, "You've got to be kidding. Everybody's leaving tomorrow, and I've had enough of Egypt. You know, if I have to check myself into a hospital in New York, I will. But I'm getting out of here tomorrow." And anyway, that night, after he gave me an injection, I passed out. And the next thing I knew, I sort of squirted out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly was in the universe and had this sort of 360, you know, degree view of everything all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I'm in the universe.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought, what is this? What's happening here? I thought, I don't feel any pain. I don't feel any temperature. Mm-hmm. I don't really feel any emotion. And then suddenly it occurred to me that I thought, I must have died. I
oh,
must
my goodness.
Have died.
Wow.
And then I thought, well, it's not so bad. It just takes a little getting used to, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I was very surprised by my death. I thought, well, I'll be.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't make it.
Oh, my gosh.
How could this be, you know? And I just thought, it really didn't feel overly pleasant, but it didn't feel unpleasant. Mm-hmm. I remember just being completely confounded that I was staring at the universe in this way, and I was like a little particle point trying to find an anchor for himself.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was at that time that suddenly there was a tremendous bright light, and as this shimmering bright light began to grow more and more, eventually it started to dissipate, and as it dissipated, I looked down, and I saw water, and I saw a pair of feet in water, and I looked, and the water was there, and it was shimmering because the sunlight had been reflecting off the water. And I looked down, and I saw a pair of feet, and I thought, what is that? It's a pair of feet in the water.
Hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I looked up my legs, and I looked up, and I realized, hey, wait a minute, this is me.
Oh, wow.
I'm me.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, what the heck has happened? I have form again, and it's a normal day. Sun is shining, sky is blue.
Wow.
There's no universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh my God, this must be what death is. I thought,
oh wow.
I guess this is the next fate or something.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, there was a man standing there up on kind of a sand dune, and he called out my name, and I looked over
mm-hmm.
and saw that he wasn't really using any words coming out of his mouth. I kept hearing my name, and I turned around, and he was saying hello to me, and I noticed this man standing there, but how does he talk to me without his lips moving? What is this?
Oh, wow.
And everything. And at that point, he said, I want you to come with me. And I started to follow him because I didn't know where else to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when something very unusual happened that I've heard other people have had something similar happen to him. Suddenly, he held out his arms to both sides, and suddenly these two, like, tablets appeared on his arms. They were like tablets. They literally, it was like a stone tablet. You know, you might imagine Moses and his stone tablets, right? It was,
mm-hmm.
they were kind of like that.
Sure.
And they were this, looked like Hebrew letters or something on it. And all of a sudden, the Hebrew letters came forward a little bit. They turned to a very bright light, like a fire.
Wow.
And when they did, it spoke to me.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, it was like I looked and I understood so much more than I had ever even imagined. And there was something that was very important when this happened. There's some mechanism in our spirit that when we go to the other side and mm-hmm. our works are sort of looked at and evaluated,
mm-hmm.
that I learned something very, very, very critical, and there was a tremendous relief at first.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I felt when I understood what it was I was looking at, which I could hardly explain, was that I could live with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I really was not a bad person. I wasn't mm-hmm. an overly wise person. I
mm-hmm.
wasn't an avatar. I was just sort of a, I don't know, what you would call a mid-pack runner or something. I was in the middle
mm-hmm.
somewhere. The most important thing was that I could live with myself and that I didn't see anything in the letters and the fire that spoke to me that said that there was something really, really bad here to be looked at. Like, I had not murdered anybody or taken things really big that didn't belong to me or anything. And that was a relief, but it did say to me, what it was at the top of my list that I needed to work on and where I was at. And I understood myself in a way in kind of a download or some kind of a review that
mm-hmm.
we're unconscious to while we're in our form here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned on the other side that the short in the story, that there were lots of other souls that had run out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, long story short, I was I thought I was, I resigned myself that I had died, and I
oh,
thought,
wow.
well, okay,
wow.
I had accepted my death,
mm-hmm.
and I was over there for what might be the equivalent of maybe 3 Earth days here, and then I was, without warning, he had told me, there were people waving goodbye, like waving at me. I thought, what is that? You know, people waving at me as if they were saying goodbye to me or something. And
oh, wow.
I didn't interpret that way. They're waving at me. And there were these little, like, boxes that had, like, faces and arms on them. They were like creatures of some kind that were waving and almost laughing. And he said, listen, I want you to remember one thing. Every word you utter to another human being has more power than you know. And all of a sudden with that, I blacked out, and it felt like I was rushing backwards through what felt like warm pudding, the only way I can describe it, like it was a murk. It was dark. I couldn't see anything, and it was like rushing through warm mud.
Wow.
And then suddenly I was slammed into my body, startled at the change in location, took a deep breath, opened my eyes to realize I'm in the hotel room. Across the street from the pyramid, hearing my roommate snoring next to me.
Oh.
I was completely oblivious as to what happened. And then I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed like a little baby in the fetal position. And I was so grateful that my life had been given back to me, that somehow, whatever this was, I was sent back and I was being given another opportunity to continue in this life. And to describe that, you'd need a volume of shows to try to research what that feeling felt like, Ted, because there's nothing like your life being given back to you and saying, you know, we're going to give you some more time. You know, if you haven't worked things out with the souls here, folks, that you need to work things out with, if you haven't worked things out with your parents, your family, friends, your children, work on it. Because if your life, if you run out of time, your time is up. But my time was given back to me, and I was very fortunate. And from there, I devoted myself to, yeah, to the virtues, you know, to tolerance, compassion, selflessness, unconditional love, forgiveness. You know, don't take people's inventory all day. Don't think ill of everyone all day long. You know? And I started to work on this personal growth side of buffing and polishing each day to become a more refined, more gentle human being. And I hope that's working and taking effect.
Absolutely. That's what distinguishes. I have to tell you, Robert, you've just explained. There's a difference in your voice than other people I've talked to, my other guests. And it's not the difference in the voice is that you've learned these wonderful, beautiful lessons of being grateful for your life, of compassion, of love. And I can tell you're on a spiritual quest, and it comes right through on when you speak. And when we first spoke on the phone here about a month ago or two, I could feel that, but I didn't know why, but it was different than other people when I've talked to, and I can feel that in your voice, the compassion, the gratefulness, especially for life that you've been given a second chance. I was almost killed in a car accident in 1978 when I was hit head-on by a drunk driver at about 110 miles an hour. I was going,
wow.
Yeah, I was going 50, and he was going 60 or more, and I was driving one of these little Volkswagen Beetles, a 1972 Super Beetle, and those things don't have anything in front except a gas tank. So when you're hit head-on like that, my head hit the steering wheel. It split my jaw in half. I woke up 6 days later, and they wired me back together as best as they can. Fortunately, the only thing I've got today is tinnitus in both ears as a result of that. But I'm very grateful for life, and I have been ever since that time. And I know life is a gift, something not to be taken for granted. But I can feel that in your voice coming across the airwaves, and I want to just thank you so much for sharing that, Robert. That's really, really nice.
That's nice to know. We're here to help each other.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
We're on Earth to help each other.
Mm-hmm. Make this planet a better place. For those who are just tuning in, by the way, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. Broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, a suburb of Seattle in the United States. And we're interviewing Robert Perella, wonderful, interesting gentleman, about his experiences, life experiences. Robert, I have to ask you this question, a very important one. Our guides, you wrote before that our guides want us to practice something very important while we're here on Earth. And what is that? Could you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, that's that's where we're going back to the virtues again. Okay. You know, there's a set of prerequisites for the soul that kind of further the spirit and your spirit faster than anything else, and that is the daily practice of practicing those moments of random acts of kindness, selflessness, service, commitment to yourself to recover, recovering from your various addictions. We all have addictions. To recover from those that have hurt us, to wake up and realize that we are, you know, divine, inspirational, mighty and powerful spiritual beings that are here to make vast and sweeping changes, and to not denigrate oneself, but to realize you really are, you are here by divine appointment. You are here by a divine calling, and that your capability is remarkable. To remember that, you know, we all become lost in the material plane. We all become lost in sort of moments of disappointment in the family and especially the socio conditioning here. There's a lot of conditioning on Earth that, you know, people are constantly telling you you're this or you're that, and you may be those things, you may not be some of those things, but nonetheless, there's that conditioning that's here, but you have the chance of a lifetime here, this lifetime, the one known only important lifetime, the one you're living right now, and to embrace it every day, and maybe even write something down on your refrigerator, you know, and it's great to post that each day and says, you know, are you practicing, you know, forgiveness today? Don't forget. Don't take everyone's inventory all day long. Don't forget unconditional love, selflessness, random act of kindness, service. Remember your guides are around you. Have a little faith. Remember it's a long race. That's why they call it the human race. And, you know, you can post all these fun things and on your refrigerator and just remind daily reminders each day, because we forget. We go back to sleep knowing that's another one. We go back to sleep. You're going to go back to sleep and forget a lot of what's being said in this show. I will too. It's always, you have to reawaken yourself up of, gosh, what is it again? I need to focus on that tolerance and forgiveness and everything, because I can get the most out of this. You actually pad your life review. You can actually pad the deal, as they say, you know, sort of program. What would you like to see if you passed away, say, 10 years from now? What is it you'd like to see? Well, I'd love to see a lovely life review and a charming guy. You know, you can write your own autobiography, you know, while you're here. And you can program what you want to see, you know. Oh. I'd love to see a great ending of the movie, my movie.
Well, I have to tell you that one of the many lessons I learned from my beloved dear foster mother was that thoughts are things in the fifth dimension. And what you said earlier, you've said so many profound things, Robert, and you said earlier that every utterance that you say has more power than you think. And so that you have to try to keep your thoughts in line in a good positive way. And one of the things you just said now that I thought was very beautiful and profound was that you are here by divine appointment. In other words, we're all here for a reason, and we're all here to make this, I believe, this planet a better place. And all of us individually have a chance to do have a lifetime to do good on this planet with unconditional love and service to others. And as long as we can fulfill that, that's the my criteria anyway for a good life.
Good words to live by.
Thank you.
There's a fun thing to do, and that is just combine your spiritual studies and you're interested in the phenomena, interest in the esoteric and all the people that listen to this kind of show with that sort of daily personal growth regimen. I'm very personal growth oriented, you know. I've had great coaches throughout my life. I mean, besides everybody that I've spoken to who is some kind of coach to me, there have been slightly better coaches. I think that, like, Tony Robbins was very, very instrumental in the way I look at things. Other coaches, you know, like Deepak Chopra, Greg Braden, so many others that are really great coaches. They really have great little anecdotes for living, and to surround yourself. I think Tony Robbins said it best when he said, "Who you hang out with is who you become." You know, surround yourself with really good, positive people, because they're going to have a tremendous influence on who you are, what you are, and everything. And, you know, don't give in to the ones that want to take advantage of you. You know, hang with some people that have had that sort of practice the timeless wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you'll get better results. And we all hang out with bad people that we regret. And discernment is certainly, you know, a trick there to say, you know, is this person the, you know, have my best interest at hand? And, you know, it is tricky, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not that easy.
It is tricky. But, you know, all of us have, I believe, firmly in the other side, in that I think all of us have at least one or more angels around us who are there to help us. And all you have to do, if you want to contact your guides on the other side, is to sit quietly and meditate and send them like a mental message, a mental question. And they usually answer immediately or through mid-thought, because they already know what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the fifth and higher dimensions, the only thing there is love. And that's one of the beautiful messages of Dr. Masaru Emoto, the world's most famous water scientist who passed away recently in Tokyo. The conference I'm having next month, the Galactic Wisdom Conference, is dedicated to him because he has such a profound message for the planet. I wanted to carry on with that with our conference next month. But
yeah, I think the conference is critical, and I think people should definitely come out for that with the guests that you have, Tricia McCannon, the other guests that you have.
Oh yeah, thanks.
You know, what a chance to see some great things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and people will be able to get free readings, free workshops. You'll meet some of the most interesting and famous people in the world as far as psychic readers and UFO contactees. And we're keeping the costs as low as possible for people. If you like more information, just go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Robert, we've got about... 8-9 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you a whole bunch of more questions in the time. You've written what's ahead for our planet, you think? You've written before that we're being birthed into a new expression. What is that? What do you mean by that?
Well, as near as I can see, we are those that are really looking for that spiritual enlightenment and the awareness and want to fulfill their missions and their purpose here might be moved even faster and faster in the next 2 to 3 years in a way they've not really thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
Notice your dreams becoming more deeper. Notice that they're becoming more lucid. Mm-hmm. Notice that there'll be people that will appear to you that you haven't seen for ages. You may not have even seen them in the material world while you've lived here in this body with this your particular name at this point that you have, your birth name.
Mm-hmm.
Others won't have a clue. They will deny anything is happening. And so there's going to be kind of a separation and a division. The Bible makes reference to this. I'm a tremendously religious person. I'm a tremendously spiritual person. But, you know, it's the age where there's kind of a separation and division between those that are serving creation are going to be moved forward somewhat. So you might say that you find out that... you know, you're going to find out what serves others, what takes away from others, what serves the light, what takes away from the light, what serves the Creator, what takes away from the Creator. That whole aspect is going to deepen. And as that deepens, some people are going to wake up feeling like they've got communication with lost loved ones that they didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
Others will deny you and say, no. Now, there's nothing like that going on here. And it's the time when, you know, you're of awakening. So a lot of people will definitely feel it. Some others will not even know what's even happening to them, why this is happening to them. They're not even really a tremendously spiritual person. They're just a good person, kind of a normal run-of-the-mill person. They're just a good person and wondering, what is this? You know, what's happening here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's as if they've woke awakening from a dream and they're going, I keep seeing some loved ones that I haven't seen in ages, and what is going on here, you know?
Sure,
and they'll
sure.
ask people like you and I who have been in the esoteric work a little bit and we'll answer those questions. But the darkness, it's going to get darker too. You know, the factions of darkness are very evident here. It isn't all a great story and a good story. Unfortunately, there is a tremendous story of this Middle East thing being, heating up. And, the darkness works on those kind of forces that feeds them old ideas, martyrdom. Martyrdom is a big one, the illusion that they are serving the Creator, so therefore they're here on a mission to kind of cleanse the earth of the, people that don't serve God in the way they think that they should. So mm-hmm. they have secular groups that are formed like ISIS and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's going to get bigger. That's just going to get bigger. And there's going to be others that are going to be endowed with kind of like some real abilities here that the secular terrorist groups won't know how to or what to deal with, because, movies kind of foretell a short example of that, of mm-hmm. people, having sort of larger abilities. The kids mm-hmm. call them superpowers.
Sure.
Maybe that's one way to say it, but it's,
sure.
But actually it's just a deeper connection being moved forward to what your work is really about, what you've come here to do.
Well, I agree with Nostradamus when he wrote back in the 16th century that by the 2030s and certainly by the 2040s, and I think it's going to be even sooner than that for many of us, the humanity as a whole on this planet will be entering into a new spiritual golden age of peace and development. And we will truly see a paradise here on Earth. That's my vision for the future.
Yeah.
I really
know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. Well, and I think that we've always had problems, but I look at us overcoming us. The Dalai Lama, I heard several months ago or last year, had said that evil as an experiment is ending on this planet.
That true.
And I think he's right. And I think that, of course, we've got ISIS and we've got these problems. Humanity's always had problems, but I think in the long term, we'll overcome them, and I think that the future for humanity is very, very bright. That's why I started my radio show, and this is why I put I'm putting my life into this now to make this planet a better place to live. And I also wanted to mention to my many listeners that a week from today we will be having a dream person on the show. His name is Michael Sheridan. He's an Irish dream psychic, and he will help interpret your dreams. But Robert, we've got a few minutes left, and I'd love to. Do you have any other parting thoughts? You're such an interesting fellow. You have so many interesting things to say.
I know that your spirit shines bright and lights the way for many.
Oh.
This is a saying that I love to use or repeat to others, that their spirit is very, very bright, and it lights the way for other people in a way that they don't really always truly grasp or even necessarily believe. What you do and what you put out does have such impact to the other people, and everyone's looking for a helping hand. Everyone's looking for that sense of connection. Mm-hmm. And for those that of us light bearers and everything that are trying to pass on those little anecdotes for living, mm-hmm. Don't forget to really pass those on consciously as much as possible. It's a lovely thing that we're here to do, and there's not necessarily any one true way or religion. I think it's out of our scope to try to come to terms with that, to say that there's just one central path. There are many paths, and they are all paths to enlightenment or to a detriment, but to just be mindful of your works and remember that you're mighty and powerful spiritual beings who are capable of great things.
Oh, absolutely. And in line with Dr. Masaru Emoto's wonderful work, thoughts are things. And if you think positive, if you think good thoughts, if you look on the bright side of life, it does have a positive impact and it does have a positive effect. I just wanted to tell my many listeners around the world that a week from today we'll be interviewing Michael Sheridan, a wonderful Irish dream psychic who will help you interpret your dreams. In addition, on that show, we'll be also interviewing Helena Steiner-Horstein, a wonderful Swedish spiritualist, very well known in Europe and in Sweden for her work. During the second hour, we will have Graham Hancock on the show, one of the most famous ancient archaeologists in the world, live by telephone from London, England. We've got about 45 seconds, my friend, and I want you to have the floor for concluding remarks.
Just go visit us. Enjoy the interviews at theperellareport.com. Go ahead and visit us at robertperella.com. And certainly, Ted, mention the conference one more time. That's very important. People go there.
Okay, wonderful. It's November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. We're not running the conference. We're only to make any money. We're doing it to raise consciousness. The website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And please check it out. If you have any questions, please give me a call or send me an email at outofthisworld1150.com. And I hope you all have a wonderful week. And Robert, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it.